Oh, my.
At 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Per Fagring speaks with Valerie Plame, the former CIA covert operative whose cover was exposed by members of the Bush administration, about her life in the new thriller Burned, which she co-authored. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support for community radio. If you missed our recent membership drive, you can still become a member when you go to kboo.fm. You click where it says Donate Today. All that and more right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Muertos Northwest's 6th annual celebration under the bridge on Dia de los Muertos, Saturday, November 1st at 1 p.m. This year's celebration will include the creation of altars, sugar skull decorating, Muertos face painting for all ages, Muertos storytelling, and live music by Los Tex-Maniacs. Again, that's Muertos Northwest's 6th annual celebration under the bridge, Saturday, November 1st from 1 p.m. to midnight at Audio Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Rusty Butler, a Siletz tribal member. I got in trouble with the law when I was 14 years old and spent my teenage years behind the bars. My culture and traditions helped me find my way. I now work with the Siletz youth in my community. Hear my story on Prison Pipeline, November 3rd at 6:30 p.m.
Nanta Shri Nagi Thai, Nanta Ho, 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 Nanta Ho.
Today on Flashpoints, Big Soda's false populism, a coalition of health groups and community organizations trying to turn the tide on Big Soda. Also, a new national security agreement with the Philippines does not bode well for human rights there. We'll look at the horrific murder case of Jennifer Loud. I'm Dennis Burns, seeing all this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're going to turn our attention first to a case we've been looking at lately, and that's the case of human rights, massive human rights violations in the Philippines in the context of a new U.S. Agreement, a national security agreement with the Philippines that, again, does not bode well for human rights there. And let me tell you who's joining us. We are joined by Congresswoman Liza Maza. She joins us from the Philippines, where she is an activist also working with Gabriela. Also joining us is Priscilla Cortez. That would be Pia Cortez, actually, what she prefers. She is co-chair of Gabriela in San Francisco. She is working on the case of Jennifer Loud and has been a part of U.S. demonstrations here against the killing and this new security agreement. And also joining us is Jonathan Milrod. Jonathan Milrod is a civil rights attorney, works with the United States Human Rights Commission, and he joins us, of course, from up north in the Santa Rosa area. All three of you, welcome to Flashpoints. And let me begin with you, Congressman Maza. Why don't you talk a little bit about, help us understand what this new U.S. security agreement means for the Philippines in broad terms. Explain why you're opposed to it.
Well, the enhanced defense Operation Agreement is a new agreement that was signed by the Philippine government, especially by the Executive Department and the U.S. government. And this is to build facilities on agreed locations by both parties for the use of of U.S. Military for U.S. military use. And these facilities will not be limited to just one area, but the whole of the Philippines. So they are converting the whole country into U.S. military base. And we know that in 1991, the Filipino people have already stated our position on this U.S. facilities by not extending anymore the U.S. bases treaty of the Philippines with the United States. And as a matter of fact, our Philippine Constitution is very clear on the issue of U.S. bases and that we do not want foreign troops and foreign bases and nuclear weapons in our soil. And so we are very much, and as a matter of fact, we have challenged the constitutionality of the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement before the Supreme Court, and it is now, we are preparing for our oral argument this month.
Now, is this a concern of yours, Congresswoman? Does it remind you of times past, of the extraordinary suffering that has been caused by the U.S. military in the Philippines? And is that part of this frontline battle?
Well, of course, these bases do not do anything good for the Philippines. They are saying that this is part of modernizing our armed forces, but actually, this our own armed forces were converted through this long relationship, military relationship, with the United States as American forces in the Philippines, because our forces, after long years of being trained by the U.S. forces, were not modernized. They were served in our country. The bases also were used for U.S. Aggression, intervention in other countries.
Every time, Congresswoman, every time you try and say something relevant about the impact of U.S. Operations, your voice gets drowned out. But I think we're getting the idea that they have had a violent impact on the culture in the Philippines. And if I can ask you to hold on, Congresswoman, I want to invite into the conversation a person who has been working hard on this, Pia Cortez. She is co-chair of Gabriela, that's a human rights organization here in San Francisco. And welcome, Pia Cortez. Tell us a little bit about your concerns and the case of Jennifer Loud, which is a perfect example of what's wrong with having U.S. military on the ground this way in the Philippines.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
I think, you know, when this first happened, like 3 days after Jennifer Loud's murder, Gabriela San Francisco, which is an international chapter of Gabriela in the Philippines, we were quick to mobilize a vigil calling for justice for Jennifer Loud, because at that time, the suspected murderer, which is United States Marine Joseph Scott Pemberton, was still detained in the U.S. naval ship, and this was 3 days after Jennifer Loud's murder. I think it's been really this whole thing has been really hard on the Filipino community, specifically the trans community, because we want to acknowledge that this murder was a hate crime. And in addition to that, it was very clear that it was a direct impact of U.S. military presence in the Philippines.
And can you say a little bit more about the situation surrounding the murder? How did this go down?
I'm sorry, can you say that again, Dennis?
Could you talk a little bit about the facts of the case in terms of what happened? How did this occur, and why are people so sure that it was these U.S. Marines or this U.S. Marine who was responsible?
Jennifer Laude was last seen with Joseph Scott Pemberton entering a hotel in Malungapo City, one of the bases in the military bases in the Philippines, her body was discovered in the toilet, in the bathroom, and according to reports, after her, she died of asphyxiation, and since the last person who was seen with her was the U.S. Marine, it has been, even though no warrants of arrest have been issued, he is a suspected murderer.
And let me bring you into this discussion, Jonathan Melrod, joining us from Northern California, civil rights attorney, having been going back and forth recently in the Philippines. Maybe you can talk about this case in the context of the reverberations on the ground there and what some of the concerns are.
Yeah, thank you, Dennis. And I want to just say hi to my old friend, Liza, who I met when I was in the Philippines on my last trip. So nice to have her on the phone with us.
Terrific.
This is upsetting for a number of reasons. I mean, one is there was a mandate in this country when President Obama was elected for change. In fact, if I'm right, that was his central slogan. And, this is another example. I mean, we have the example of more people deported than any other president. We have lots of examples, but this is another example of where the Philippine people had been able to win a level of independence and self-determination in 1991 by removing the U.S. military bases from the Philippines after there were innumerable cases of rape and molestation of Philippine women. Yet it's Obama who, under the radar, went back, I believe, 6 months or so ago and entered into this visiting forces agreement that, that brings us back to 1991. And it's an insult to the aspirations of the Philippine people who've already expressed themselves once that they do not want to be a colony of the United States. They do not want to have the U.S. military stationed on Philippine soil. Yet here we are with a president who advocated change, reneging on those prior agreements and reinserting U.S. troops. But I also want to say that, we sometimes are very arrogant in the United States. We believe that, we have the key to how the world should work and operate. And when I was in the Philippines a couple of months back, I was very, very impressed with the openness of Philippine society. Philippine society is light years ahead of where we are here today on the issues of acceptance of gay and lesbians and on the acceptance of transgender, people of transgender origin. And, it's much more of a welcoming society. Yet here a U.S. Marine picks up a transgender woman and takes her to a motel room, and he, after having sex with her, he kills her. And one could only assume that was on discovery that she was transgender. So we're now imposing our restrictive and hateful, values that some hold in the United States society and wreaking havoc on cultures where they have already, become much more accepting. And that's a form of cultural imperialism that's our responsibility to put a stop to.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And let's bring you back into this, Congresswoman Maza. What is your response to this killing? And particularly your response to the fact that they have essentially made the apparent killers, the alleged killer, unavailable so that there's going to be a court case, but the person who's accused, stands accused, isn't going to be there. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. Let me just say that although this is the first case of a transgender woman that was killed by U.S. Soldier in the Philippines, But this is such crimes are not isolated. There have been many other cases of murder and killing of Filipinos since the 1960s in recent history, where, you know, Filipinos are being taken for pigs or just being shot because they were near the U.S. bases. So this is not really an isolated case. But the problem is that the military agreements of the Philippines with the United States, starting from the Military Defense Treaty, the U.S. Bases Agreement, the Visiting Forces Agreement, and now with EDCA, these agreements act as cover for such crimes. They create a climate of impunity such that these crimes are committed and the perpetrators of these crimes are not put before the bar of justice. This is the problem. Because under this agreement, the U.S. gets the jurisdiction of the case. You know, in the case of Jennifer Laude, our own investigative process and our own judicial system were subsumed under this agreement with the United States, such that until now we do not have the custody of the suspect, and our police forces were not even able to undertake the evidence gathering that was needed to, you know, to proceed with a case. So really, these agreements that are very lopsided are in favor of the United States. It is a direct attack against our sovereignty as a nation and the right of our people to self-determination and to serve justice to the victims. So this is really